So for 11 weeks, we've been on this wonderful journey together, looking at who is God, like his names, attributes, and characteristics. And so today, we're looking at another attribute of God, and it is the love of God. So let's just start with a question together. When I say that we're going to talk about the love of God today, like what happens in your mind and in your heart? Do you feel like that's kind of a tired topic, right? I've heard a lot about God's love. Or do you get excited about that, right? And honestly, I've been in both places. At times I've said, you know, I've been around the church a long time. I grew up in church. And at times I've felt like, I know a lot about God's love. But at other times my answer would have been, oh, wow. God's love is like blowing my mind right now. And really, regardless of whether you're answering that with a slight sense of, yeah, I kind of know that topic, or an excited attitude, I have the same goal for all of you today, which is this. I want your heart to be touched as we look at this magnificent topic that God is love, right? His love is perfect. It's constant. It's for you. It's unconditional. It is pure. So let's pray right now, and let's ask the Lord to work in each of our hearts. Would you bow your heads, please? So Jesus, right now, we come to you. We ask you to do a work in our hearts. Yes, we want our minds to understand your love more. Yes, that's true. But more than intellectual knowledge, we long for a transformation of our hearts. And so we ask you to touch our hearts. Warm our hearts and change us today. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So to get us started here, I want to show you a verse that's amazing. Romans 5:5. So it's going to come up on the screen and just look what this verse says. It says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, I want to show you three quick things about this verse. First off, that word poured. Poured is a free-flowing inundation. It literally means flooded. Secondly, the verb tense for that word poured is the perfect tense in the Greek. And it's very, very important. I don't talk about Greek verb tenses very often. So you got to know, if I'm going to tell you about it, it's got to make a big deal. Big deal. So the perfect tense means something happened in the past and it is a continuation of action forever. It never stops. So what this verse is saying is that the love of God has been flooded into the heart of a person who's a follower of Jesus Christ, and it never stops flooding. The third thing to point out here is it's through the Holy Spirit. This is the ordinary work of the Holy Spirit. It's not for the super Christians. It's for everybody. This is the way God loves us. Now, J.I. Packer wrote this. He said, Paul assumes that all his readers, like himself, will be living in the enjoyment of a strong and abiding sense of God's love for them. Now, to show you what this looks like, I actually want to illustrate it by taking you outside. Okay, so look, a lot of people envision this concept of Romans 5:5 as God pouring his love into our hearts, kind of like a pitcher. You know, the glass is our heart, and we're like, hey, that's really good. Thank you so much. I was actually a little bit thirsty. I think I'll take a little, that's good, right? But then, you know, like, look, life happens, it splashes around, and then you're like, I'm a little depleted, so hey, God, can you pour some more love into my heart? That's great. Here's the idea, right? As life happens and it spills out, and, you know, hardship comes and the years go by, more and more and more, eventually, it's like the pitcher runs out. See, that is nothing about what Romans 5:5 is saying. Instead, Romans 5:5 is saying, look, it's like God's love is like a hose and it is flooding your heart with his love, and it never, ever, ever, ever stops flooding your heart if you're a Christian. Now, the question is this. Are you experiencing God's love like this? I mean, what would that even be like? I mean, do you mistakenly think that, okay, maybe God is going to, like, put a kink in the hose and the flow stops. And then maybe with your good behaviors, then he's gonna make the hose start going again. Again, wrong idea, guys. The idea of Romans 5 is that God's love is flooding you. And don't you want to experience that more? This is what we're gonna talk about in today's sermon. We're gonna cover three questions. First off, what is God's love? Secondly, how can a person experience God's love flooding their heart like this more and more and more? Third question, how does God's love change me? What happens next? That's what we're gonna look at in today's sermon. Let's go back inside the auditorium. Okay, so our first question is, what is God's love? So turn over to 1 John. In the book of 1 John, chapter 4, there are two places that tell us the exact same thing. 1 John 4:8 and 1 John 4:16 tells us God is love. There's never been, nor will there ever be, a sliver of a moment when God will stop being love. Never. He is the perfect essence of love, and it's eternal. He was loving when he created the world. He was loving when your loved one died. He is loving when he judges disobedience. And he is loving every single moment of your life. He is eternally, perfectly loving. Now, God's love, though, it is different than the kinds of love that we experience and we know in this world. It's really different than anything we experience in this sinful world. Song of Songs, it describes the love in a variety of ways. In chapter 8, verse 6, it tells us that God's love is as strong as death. So the idea being, death is inescapable. And therefore, God's love is inescapable. You cannot get away from it. Exodus 34, starting in verse 6, tells us, The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands. Let's look at that steadfast love. In Hebrew, steadfast love is the Hebrew word hesed. Hesed is the faithful love of God, which led God to freely choose people to make a covenant with, despite the fact that these people were sinful and actually didn't deserve to be in a relationship with God. See, that's so different than us. We love other people because something about them, it awakens love in us for them. That's not the way God works at all. God's love is hesed. In the New Testament, unconditional love, it's the same concept, is described with the Greek word agape. Now, that was a concept for both the Greeks and the Romans that was just totally foreign. Their deities were vengeful, angry. They were arrogant. They were selfish. And when Jesus taught that the love of God was agape, they didn't even have a category for it. One verse, Romans 5:8, tells us, God shows his love for us. So God shows his unconditional agape love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So God's love it's much more than a warm, fuzzy feeling. God's love is action on your behalf. And the action was, the pinnacle action of that was that Jesus died for you. Jesus' death was the greatest sacrifice given freely because God loves you with unconditional love, a hased love. In his book, The Problem of Pain, C.S. Lewis writes about this love of God, and it's really quite provoking. Look what he says. God's love is not a senile benevolence that drowsily wishes you to be happy in your own way, not a cold philanthropy of conscientious magistrates, nor the care of a host who feels responsible for the comfort of his guests, but the consuming fire himself, the love that made the worlds. You see what he's saying there? God's love is a consuming fire. Humanity, we face a problem. And it's not just us, it's a timeless problem that humanity has faced. And here it is, nothing in this world seems to fill our hearts, right? We have an ache, we have a longing. It's like that itch in the back of your, the middle of your back. You just can't quite get to it on your own. Our hearts have that. Lewis is alluding to why. Why is that void there? And here's why. The love that made the world forged your heart in its furnace, and you will not be satisfied with anything short of his love. He designed your heart to only be satisfied with a love that is as strong as death. Our hearts will only know satisfaction from a love that is hesed. Our hearts will only experience peace when we are unconditionally loved. I mean, think about your own heart for a moment. You know the futile pursuits, don't you? Of, oh, maybe this is going to satisfy my heart. Oh, maybe this is going to give me something that my heart really longs for, only to be disappointed yet again. This is the human condition. Now, there's really only three responses when we acknowledge this. First response is, well, you can just keep searching for it. Second, you can just give up all searching for anything ever. And at that point, you just entered into despair. The third option, though, is to accept that God has actually been searching for you, and that in a relationship with God, he offers to flood your heart with his perfect love. You can think of it this way. God's love is perfect and relentless. And in his pursuit of relentlessly giving you his love, he gives you himself, which is the consuming fire. And he only acts in ways that are to your benefit. I mean, think about that. That's really the most transformational idea that I've been learning over the past few years about love. See, love is not making someone feel good about themselves. Love is action being taken for someone's best. That's love. And look, there's nothing in your life happening right now that is outside of or separate from God's love for you. Nothing. You may not like it. You may not understand it. But I tell you this, the Word of God tells us God is working for your very best because he loves you. See, this forces us to deal with a seeming contradiction between God's love and the hard, bitter things that we experience in life. Like, how can those coexist? I actually want to show you how they coexist by taking you over to the church kitchen right now. All right, welcome to our church kitchen. In front of me are the ingredients to make a chocolate cake. Now, any ingredient alone, except for the sugar, is pretty gross and does not taste good, right? They illustrate the hardships of life. And sometimes the circumstances and the hardships of life, they're bitter and they don't taste good. Like, how about a little bit of cocoa, right? A little bit of cocoa there, that's not good. If you're desperate on a need some chocolate day, do not go to the pantry and get cocoa. You will not like it. How about a little bit of flour? What's flour taste like? By itself. Oh yeah, that's not good at all. Wow, right? It doesn't taste good. It's gross. It's It's just not there. You know what we really want in life? We're like, can I just have a bunch of sugar? That's what I want.
Mm. Oh yeah, that is good. Sugar, sugar me up.
But you cannot live on all sugar. You can't do it. Now look, if you're identifying your life according to one isolated hardship, you will be miserable. And you're forgetting the fact that because God is perfectly loving toward you, these individual things do not define you. His unconditional love defines you. And so here's what he does. He actually, in his chesed, he mixes these together. So let's do a little bit of that, right? He takes this baking powder, right? Puts a little bit of that in there. Takes a little bit of this salt. Yeah, we'll throw that in there. Takes some of this butter. Yeah, he puts all these ingredients that otherwise, we probably need all that flour. That's probably about right. Most of that cocoa, that's good. Both eggs, I didn't want to taste those, but there you go. A couple of raw eggs. And then sugar. Like how much sugar? I don't know, maybe like that much sugar? I'm not baking here. I'm just mixing them together. Look, I'm not the perfect baker, but God is. And like he mixes all of this together. We don't have time to mix this together right now, but you get the idea. When he mixes it all together, he is a perfect baker. And boy, the outcome in our lives, well, the outcome after he has his way is going to be the chocolate cake, right? And then, well, of course you want to have a little bit of the cake, don't you? And it's an amazing that all of those bitter ingredients mixed together, they make a delicious cake, guys. Look, we've got to keep in mind Romans 8:28 that tells us that we know that for those who love God, God is working all things according to his plan for good. That's the bigger outcome here. And please do not focus so much on the hardships and the bitternesses of your life that you lose sight of the fact that this does not define you. God's perfect love defines you. See, if you'll keep that perspective in mind, it will give you hope as you are enduring through those isolated, hard moments. Follower of Jesus, does your life seem to be filled with hardships right now? Please don't give up hope. God is calling you to himself, calling you back into a loving relationship where he can freshly remind you that he is flooding your heart with his love. He's working it all to his glorious good. Will you let him lead your heart today? Will you let him shift your perspective today? Now let's go back in the auditorium. So we've been working our way through scripture, thinking about our first question, which is, well, what is God's love? The simplest way to summarize what we've been going through so far, and look, we could spend hours looking through the scripture at what is God's love and different examples and such. We don't have time to do all that now. Literally, there are thousands and thousands of verses in the Bible talking about God's love. It's probably just simplest to understand a summary of it is this. Look, God's love is, it is perfect, it is constant, it is for you, it is unconditional, it is pure. It is amazing. Now let's answer our second question. How can a person experience God's love flooding their hearts? Right? That's actually the question I was asking you when we were outside with the water pitcher. How do we experience this? There's really two fairly simple ways. First, accept it. Secondly, live in relationship with him. Let's take the first one, accept it. As amazing and as perfect as God's love is, he will not force you to receive his love. You know, I've pondered that a lot over the years. Like, why not? Why doesn't God force us to take his love when it would be the best for us? And, you know, doesn't a good parent force their children to eat vegetables. Kids, if you're watching right now and your parents force you to eat vegetables, they do it because they love you. That's a good parent. Like, why doesn't God do that with his love? I'll tell you the answer right now. God does not force us because love must involve choice. It must. God does not want to force our compliance. He wants us to be in a relationship with him that is a relationship of love, and that must involve our choice to be in that relationship. So he offers that. God says, look, in my son, Jesus Christ, he died on the cross. And then he rose again from the dead so that anyone who would believe in him could be in a relationship with him. So first off, you just have to accept that. And maybe you've never accepted that invitation from God. You could do that today. That's the first step of experiencing the flood of God's love. Accept it. Secondly, your awareness of the fact that God's love is flooding into your heart, it will increase or decrease depending on like some actions that we take on our part. The more you do things like read the Bible, talk to God, listen to God, sing praises to him, enjoy him as you live in this beautiful creation of Colorado in the summertime, surrender your will to him, confess your sin to him, live in obedience to him, meditate on his word. Like, the more you do these, the more you will feel the flood of his love in your heart. Now, that shouldn't surprise us. Isn't that similar to how we experience and feel close to people that we love? You know, the more I talk with my wife, the more I cook with her in the kitchen, the more our dog walks I take with her, the more we talk about God, the more we talk about our hearts, the more we share life together, the closer I feel to her. And it's similar with God. Here's the truth. The truth never changes that God is constantly flooding your heart with his love. That never changes. But the closer you're walking with him, step by step, the more you're going to feel it. And maybe this is exactly what the Lord wanted you to hear today. Maybe you have experienced an initial flood of God's love, but you're not living in a close relationship with him. And please hear right now the Lord calling you back to him, calling you into close relationship with him. And if that's what you're sensing and hearing from the Lord right now, please move back close to him in relationship to him. That's how we experience this ongoing realization that, oh, we are being flooded with the unconditional, perfect, constant, pure love of God. So that's our second question. Here's the third question we need to answer before we finish up. How does God's love change me? You know, one simple way you can just ask it is like, well, what happens next? When we have been loved like that, the scriptures make it very, very clear. Then we love back. Flip over to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, 8 tells us this. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. So we're being constantly flooded with God's love. And then the expectation is, okay, you don't just receive it and just keep like kind of flooding over and just kind of staying by yourself. You literally owe a debt to other people, and it's a debt you never pay off, and it is a debt to love them. God's love flooding us changes us so much that we are transformed from selfish people who only think about loving ourselves to being selfless people who love other people. Jesus said the same thing when he was asked, hey, what's the greatest commandment, Jesus? Jesus said, all right, first off, you've got to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind. Second, love your neighbor as yourself. See, God's love, as it's flooding your heart, it will prompt love back out of you. That's the overflow, right? Remember when we saw that cup and the water is overflowing the sides? That's the love that is from God overflowing your life. You should see this happening more and more as you live in relationship with God. It's an amazing thing. It not only changes you personally, it changes this world. It changes your family. It changes your coworkers. It changes your neighbors. And it ripples and ripples and ripples. And eventually, yes, the love of God can flood this entire world. And isn't that certainly something our world needs right now? Look, the world has always needed the love of God, but we're just seeing so many fresh examples of how our world is broken and sinful and longing to fill that void that's in their hearts. It will only be filled by the love of God. And it's our role to be part of spreading that love around to other people. So as we wrap up, I just want you to ponder, like, is there one way where the Lord has spoken to your heart today? Like one specific way where you sense the Lord was reminding you of a truth that you've heard before, teaching you a new truth in a way. And it wasn't just a truth in your mind. It was a truth that resonated with your heart. It warmed your heart. And you had that sense of, oh, that's a big deal. That truth of God's love resonates with my heart in a way that is fresh and new, and I needed to hear that today. That's the truth that God wants you to take with you today. That's the truth God wants you to share with someone at the end of our service when we have some questions on the screen. Talk about it together. Take the next step of walking faithfully with the Lord and experience His amazing, transforming love. Would you bow your heads and let's pray together? God, we're so blessed that you show us Hesed love. Yes, we had nothing to do with it. Yes, we didn't deserve it. Yet you love us anyway. Please remind us of this fresh truth. Change us by this truth. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.